And let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. Begin reading the verse 18. I want to talk to you about the idea of God with us. Aren't you glad that God is with us today? I've enjoyed His presence this morning, still are. Amen. He's not a God that's far off. He's a present Jesus, powerful Jesus, almighty God. Hallelujah. Let's notice His word here, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your spirit, your power, your blessing. God, we're so unworthy, but you've granted us that we might have fellowship with you and be in your presence and worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless the ministry of the word, God, we do pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Amen. It seems that many times that people, you know, not this church, but some churches, you know, Easter and Christmas, about the only time they show up. I'm glad you're not like that. I say that, preface that before I say this. There was a man in a church services when the pastor greeted him and said, Jim, that was his name, it's time you join the army of the Lord. We need you every Sunday. And the man replied, I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor. Jim replied, then why we only see you on Christmas and Easter? Jim looked right at to the right and to the left and leaned over and whispered, I'm in the Secret Service. Well, we don't want to be in that kind of secret service. We want to be in the present service. Praise the Lord. As we've read about today, we're reading about a major doctrine of Scripture, the virgin birth of Christ. And so why does that matter? I want to tell you it matters everything. It is of great importance to the Christian faith, great importance to all humanity. Without the virgin birth of Christ, there would be no Christmas celebration. There would be no perfect offering for sin as Jesus was. There would be no forgiveness of sins. Would you like to go around forever just feeling guilty all the time for everything? Without the virgin birth of Christ, there would be no payment for sin and no settled account with God. And the only way there could be a perfect sacrifice was for God to become man and shed His sinless blood to atone and pay for our sins, which He did graciously. But the Bible clearly teaches the virgin birth of Christ. Because you see, if God was His Father, that's the only way He could be sinless. And He remained sinless. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law, the only one that ever did. Amen. In Luke 1:34-35, an angel says to Mary, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest One will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who will be born will be called the Son of God. Praise the Lord. And so there are some religions that believe in Jesus. They just don't believe He is the Son of God. Some religions believe that Jesus is a good man, a good set of religious rules. Some people believe that Jesus was just another person. And a religious person or whatever. I want to tell you, friend, He is the Son of God, which makes Him equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Godhead are eternal. It never began and will never end. They're eternal. Praise the Lord. And so when we and I receive eternal life, we all began somewhere, but my friend will be with Him forever. Glory to God. Okay, I want to talk to you this morning about God with us and the idea of God. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And that promise of God being with us extends to all people. And if we were to go in the genealogy, I don't spend a lot of time in that because, you know, they get after a while, you can't pronounce the names very good. And you say Bill, Joe, and Jack, and then go on. But no, they're in the genealogies here. It's four women are mentioned in this genealogy in the first chapter. And this was unusual in the cultural sense of that time. But these four women that are mentioned here have great significance to all peoples. And it shows that God considers all people equally important. And here in Scripture, if we back up a few verses, we'll find a woman by the name of Tamar. And she was involved in a scandal with one of the sons of Jacob, Judah. And it wasn't a good thing, wasn't a good story. And then there's another woman mentioned here, what's Rahab, known as Rahab the harlot. She was a Canaanite prostitute, but she believed that Israel would conquer the land. And somewhere or another, she gave her heart to the Lord and became a believer and a follower of Christ. Amen. Women are important to God. It should make you feel good this morning if you're a woman. Amen. So Rahab, she formerly was a prostitute, but she became a believer, and she was in the messianic line that Jesus would come through. So you see, God used women here powerfully. Still does. Man. I was where I used to pastor. There was a group of people that would get together every night, and some of them were us, Assembly of God. Some of them were Church of Christ. And one guy came up and said, "Women are not supposed to say anything in church." And they come from the Church of Christ group. But I want to tell you, when they got to the restaurant, they sure made up for it. He talked about everybody and everything. But God doesn't say that. There shouldn't be no talking in the church from women. He does say that shouldn't prophesy in the church. But Philip's virgin daughters, four of them, prophesied, meaning they spoke God's word. So people did minister, women. And then let's move on. We have in this genealogy Ruth, a Moabite. And the Moabite people were a race of people that were developed from one of an incestual relationship with one of Lot's daughters in him. And then one we're more familiar with is that of Bathsheba. And she became Solomon's wife, but not by right way, because her husband was killed in battle. And Solomon, we'll just say this, Solomon lusted after her because he went on his roof one day and he saw a beautiful woman bathing herself. And then he called for her because he got away from her. It's not that he didn't have a half a dozen other wives to go to. David wasn't strong there. He sinned against God. It cost him dearly. But he was restored and God forgave him. So women were in the godly line, godly lineage of the Messiah. Praise the Lord. And if you go on down the kingly line, you'll find there's many people there. Some of them weren't very good kings. Others were. But yet God brought his son through the kingly line because Jesus is king. Coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not just coming back as a son of a king somewhere. No. But of the lineage of David. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So we get here. We know that the virgin birth is real. It's important. It extends to all people. Salvation to all people. And salvation from sin comes through Jesus Christ. Came through supernatural conception. God said to Joseph, or to Mary, Holy Spirit will come upon you. That thing which is born from you will be called the Son of God. just this is real love. When Jesus stepped down from a perfect heaven, you think about it, friend. Heaven with no guilt and no shame, a place where sin didn't exist, where nobody got mad at each other, where there was no on the late news of killings and murder and all kinds of evil. That never happens in heaven. It's perfectly pure, perfectly holy. How would Jesus, why would he step down to carnal man where there's nothing but sin? Only one reason: God loves you and I. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus stepped down from a perfect heaven. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived. He grew up in humanity. Amen. I'm sure he went through all the phases of growing up. Amen. He was a two-year-old at one time. And he moved on to adolescence. Even as 12 years of age, he told his mother and daddy, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Somewhere along the line, it was revealed to him that he was the Son of God, even in his humanity. He knew he was. And so he lived in his humanity. He grew up, and it began to, at a particular time, God began to call him. God, this Father, began to call him to preach the gospel, to step out. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. So Jesus had a mission to go on. And about 30 years of age, he began to preach the word of God. And people were in awe of him because he did things no other man had ever done. But he stepped down from a perfect heaven, lived in humanity, worked miracles, took the judgment for our sins, saved and saves all who will believe and surrender to him today. God isn't through saving people yet. And it was told here in the scripture, the angel told Mary and Joseph, said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's what Jesus means. Old Testament version, Joshua means God is salvation. And so he came to save people from their sins. We know the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so people that are slaves to sin and people do not know Christ as Savior, whether they realize they're not, they're slaves to sin, because they can't quit sinning unless God does something. But God saves us from judgment of death and hell. And you ask people today if they believe there's a hell and a heaven or a payment for sin, most of them will tell you, yeah, I believe in a heaven, but I'm not sure about that hell thing. Let me tell you something. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. And he made it so real that you don't want to go there. And God doesn't want anybody to go there, because that's the only place to go if you don't know Christ and if you don't are not in the favor of God. And you become in the favor of God when you give your life to Jesus. But without the virgin birth, there could be no power to deliver from sin. All would die in sin and die a slave to sin and go in eternity completely lost forever. That is unthinkable to me. Since we have the glorious gospel of Christ now, there is no reason why that people should die and go to hell. People should receive Christ as their Savior and live. Amen. Live forever. Live for God. And not go into eternity, which in Scripture is stated is called the second death. And the second death is eternal. And it's completely separation from God and love and hope and joy and anything good. But without the spiritual birth, the virgin birth, unless there was God in Christ, there could be no power to deliver from sin. All would die in sin. The miracles of Jesus proved he was the Son of God. All the authority that he used, and Jesus went about healing all the sick, all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Everywhere he went, people were set free, people got delivered. And God made no difference between rich and poor. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was one of the tax collectors. He was considered the worst of sinners by the Jewish people, but God saved him. And so also Jesus came to the lowliest people that had no power to do anything. He came to a funeral procession, interrupted it, and raised a mother's son from the dead. It's a miracle of God. So his miracles proved he was the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. That he was God with us. In the book of Mark, it tells us about a time when there was a storm on the sea and the disciples were in the boat and they were rowing to and for, and there was a storm on the sea and they knew that if something supernatural didn't happen, they would drown at sea. But in the midst of that, they see some man come walking on the water. The Bible says they were afraid. But Jesus came to the boat and he got into the boat. And he said, "Peace, be still." They got to be still from all their worry, their care, and their fear. But the wind and the water had to obey Jesus too. And they said to him, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want to tell you this, Jesus that we serve today, he can make anything happen or command anything to happen, and it will. And God in through commanding things to happen. There's things that God that you've gone through. If God hadn't stepped in, you'd be gone by now. But God stepped in and God was God with us. He was a present Jesus. Praise the Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And let me tell you, friend, whatever you may be facing today, whether it's sickness, disease, or death, or sorrow, or heartache, or loss, or grief, or sorrow, I want to tell you this present Jesus is the same Jesus that's still with us today. He hadn't failed. He hadn't quit being powerful. He hadn't turned his back on you. And he hadn't said to you, "You're not worth messing with." I want to tell you, God came for all to seek and to save that which is lost. And so he's Emmanuel, God with us. I keep mentioning the virgin birth because it's so essential. Without the virgin birth, no personal relationship with God could be had. Unless God became a man and lived this life sinless, he'd have no authority to give eternal life to you and I, but he did. Not only did he have the authority to lay down his own life, he had the authority to come up again. He said, this gift I've received from my Father. So without Jesus coming into this world sinless, there would be no hope for you. There would be no one to walk through this life, through suffering, through death. But we now have God's love. And God so loved us. Amen. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, I love Romans. Not just the verses I like, but all of them. I like all of them. And so God so loved that he gave us a personal relationship with us, that he becomes someone, not just another person, but the Son of God. If you're saved today, you can know that the Son of God walks with you through life. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And God's not going to stop loving you someday. There may be relationships here, and there are throughout humanity, where people loved each other for a time until things got better. But when they got worse, they decided they didn't love anymore. Now, there's been many songs written about that. We won't go into that. But if we had no one to walk through this life, you couldn't call on God, you couldn't call on Jesus any time, it would be a pretty sad life, wouldn't it? But even through death, we can know that God's love does not change. He loves us. When we can sin, he convicts us because he loves us to bring us back to him. And so we make the choice to serve the Lord. We continue to make the choice to serve God regardless of what happens. In Romans 8:35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" No person can. No person can say, "I'm just going to make God not love you anymore." Some people say, "Well, I don't love you anymore. That means God doesn't either." No, it doesn't mean that. Here in Scripture says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life. Doesn't that say it all? Death or life? Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend, we can stand on that and believe that God loves us forever. Yes, we're still free moral agents. People have the power of choice to turn away from God if they're foolish enough to do so and turn to something else. I've never understood that. People that backslide, what are you going to go back to? What God saved you out of to start with? You were miserable in to start with? Don't turn away from God. Just keep on walking with Him and keep on enjoying His love, serving Him. So Jesus came into a world that was lost. There was no hope of deliverance from destructive things. And without Christ, there's still no hope of deliverance from destructive things. Let me use this for an example. There was a time when Daniel was commanded by the man in charge of the Babylonian government. Nebuchadnezzar said, you are not going to pray to anybody except me. I don't know what he thought he was. I guess he thought he was a god, but he wasn't. If anybody prays to any other god but King Neb, then he'll be thrown into a den of lions. So Daniel did what he always did every day. He opened his window toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. But some of the elders caught him, some of the lost elders of the Babylonian kingdom. And they went to the king, haven't you said, O king, that whoever prays to any other god except you for 30 days will be cast into the den of lions? And you've put the Roman the seal on it, and so it cannot be altered? He said, it's true. He said, well, this guy Daniel that you've hired, he's praying to some other god besides you. And the king worked hard to try to get it reversed, but he could not. And at the end of the day, all he could do is allow Daniel to be thrown into the den of lions. That day, lions were used as a means of execution. Talk about cruel and unusual punishment. And when they had a den of lions, they would keep them starved of food for a few days or weeks, to where they would be mean and ready to eat anything and everything. And so they lowered Daniel into the lion's den. But the Bible says that God shut the lion's mouths. Amen. They didn't have an appetite that day. And we know the next morning the king came, said, Daniel, is your God whom you serve able to deliver you? And he said, yes, king. God came and shut the lion's mouth, and I'm okay. And so we know that God delivered him. God set him free because that's who God is. And even with Daniel, he was Emmanuel, God with us. I realize this is before Christ, but perhaps the angel that shut the lion's mouth was a pre-incarnate Christ. It could have been. At least an angel of God. And so we see that God used this. Three Hebrew children did the same thing. Put the fourth man in the fire. Amen, and they weren't burned. But Jesus' miracles of deliverance of disease, sickness, demon possession, controlling forces of evil that plague our world, amen, all these things still plague our world today. But I want to tell you something, believer, you're not alone in this world. You save, serve God's in your heart. He's Emmanuel. He's God with you. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Don't let the devil lie to you and say you don't have anything today. That all happened back then. I want to tell you, this Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did then, he can still do today. Sickness he healed then, he can still heal today. Discouragement on people then can still give people relief from discouragement, depression, and fear today. We serve a mighty God, a powerful God, a present Jesus. Not absent, but present always. Hallelujah. Jesus came in his earthly ministry, came upon a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And according to Mosaic law, she should have been stoned. And so they brought her before Jesus and said, "Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery." And the Bible says that Moses said she should be stoned, but what do you say? The Bible says that Jesus bent over and wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. But we know that this had to be a setup because they knew the Old Testament well, and the same punishment went for the man as for the woman caught in adultery. And so after a while, Jesus said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And nobody could throw a stone at her. One by one, from the eldest to the least, they went away. And Jesus said, "Where are your accusers, woman?" She said, "I have none." Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He didn't say, go your way and keep on doing what you've been doing. He said, "Go and sin no more." But God relieved her. Because you see, God is still Emmanuel, God with us. He was there that day to help that woman. Praise the Lord. The name Jesus means God is salvation. And Christ is a creator, Father, Son, Holy Spirit involved in creation. Amen. We know in Hebrews, the first chapter, it tells us there that God was a creator. It gives revelation there that God was a creator. Amen. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, creator, being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of majesty on high. So we know that Jesus was a creator. And people, when they saw Jesus preaching and teaching in the synagogues and in the streets, you know, little did they know the creator of the ends of the earth was walking among them. Man. John bears it out very strongly. John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. By him all things were created. Now without him not anything was made that was made." Colossians 1:16, "By him all things were created, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were made by him, and he is before all things, and in him all things are held together." So we have Jesus here, the name of Jesus. Jesus came to be a present Jesus at that time, but he came to be a present Jesus now. I've seen God save people that looked beyond hope, but they weren't beyond hope because Christ was there. Just let me make you feel better. Without Christ, we're all beyond hope. But in Christ, there is glorious, blessed, wondrous hope that he gives of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Jesus was made come to earth to save us from our sins. He made us a new creation. Old things passed away, all things have become new. Amen. God, give grace to all of us. I'm glad for grace. When I was growing up, there wasn't much grace preached. You hear about grace very often. We didn't have much grace. The Baptists had too much. They'd get by nearly anything. No, nothing against the Baptists. But Ephesians 2, you've heard it time and again. "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We don't want to quit after just says that God saved us, not by works. But he created us to serve, to walk with him, to live for him, and to represent him on this earth. Praise the Lord. In word, in deed, in behavior. He made us a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new." And not only is God with us now, but God is with us eternally. In the book of Revelation 21:3, It says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God is with men. Wouldn't it be amazing if God just stepped in here right now and said, I'm going to dwell with you right now. In the power of His glory. I doubt if there'd be one person here that could stand up. It's just the heaviness and the weightiness of His presence would be so strong. But it says in eternity here, the tabernacle of God is with men. His dwelling place is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Not absent from Him, not someplace far off from God. They'll be with Him. Amen. We can be able to talk to God visibly and see, look upon His face, shout glory unto Him, and worship Him forever. I want to tell you, friend, you don't want to miss heaven for anything this foolish world has to offer. You want to serve the Lord, live for Him. Amen. Be caught up to meet Him in the air and ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the Christmas time that He is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.